coalition forces and begin striking selected targets of military importance.
It would be a decision which could only be taken once.
There's no argument over the choice between peace and war.
Unconfirmed reports about Gaddafi being captured.
This morning, I want to talk about the future of Europe.
Burning Point.
Hello and welcome to the show. With me, Ekaterina Kudoshkina. Child protection system has become an issue for human rights activists in many European countries. Cases of seizing children from the Russian families, from the Russian mothers in Finland and in Norway, have become a serious problem. So, what good does it make to separate a kid from a family? This is something we are discussing with our guest speaker, Dr. Johan Backman, adjunct professor in sociology of law and criminology at the Helsinki University in Finland.
Yes, recently we had another case of taking a child from a Russian mother in Finland. The latest case concerns a Russian mother, Yelena Polushkina in Helsinki, whose 14-year-old child, Vitali, was taken from her by the social services of Finland. And the problem is about legislation, obviously, because in many European countries, in many Western countries, there is a law about protection of the child. And this law, for example, in Finland, the law about child protection gives the authorities the right to take the child from the family if, in fact, without a reason. Only on the basis of some kind of suspicions by the social services. Actually, it is written in the Finnish law that the basis of seizing a child from the parents can be a worry of the social services. Worry. So worry is a very subjective feeling. It's a subjective thought. And the child can be taken, of course, without a court order. And the police can come to home without a court order. And the child is taken also without any kind of investigation. So the reason of taking the child is only the worry, the subjective feeling, subjective thought of the social services employees. And in several cases, unfortunately, in Finland and also in Norway, several Russian mothers have ended up in a very strange situation. They are a good family, they don't have any specific problems, but suddenly the police comes and takes the child to a children's home or to a foster family. And the reason might be, in several cases, the reason has been an accusation by somebody concerning that the child was claiming that the child was not even beaten, but slapped by the mother, for example. Mm. Slapped by the mother. Or,
so disciplined, which is generally known as...
Well, disciplined, yes, but even in these cases, we don't have any evidence if the child was slapped or not, because it is always based on somebody's interpretation of what was said by the child at school, for example. But we have these kind of cases in Finland, for example, we have dozens of cases already. Dozens of cases when a Russian child is taken from the Russian mother without any clear, evident, serious reason.
Our guest speaker is Dr. Johan Backman, adjunct professor in sociology of law and criminology based with the Helsinki University in Finland.
Burning Point.
Does it also somehow apply to families of other nationalities, or are Russians in particular focus?
Well, I think that Russians are in particular focus because the question is about values. The question is about family values, and I have to say that the family values of Russians are different from the family values of Europeans or Finns. And in these cases, the problem is that for Russians, the family is more important. And the upbringing, the child, the love for the child, that's more important. And this can be interpreted negatively by the Finnish authorities, for example, because in Finland it is a very different society, it's a very different state, and it has a very different ideology and legislation. It's in a way that the child belongs to the state from birth. You understand? It's kind of a property of the state.
Oh, interesting.
It's a property of the state, and for example, and in many cases, the parental rights, and they're quite limited. There are plenty of activists, human rights activists, journalists, lawyers, scholars who agree in this case that the child protection system is a nightmare.
How has it all started? Who actually got the idea?
Well, that's a very good question. We are, of course, trying to study the history of the child protection system to understand why did it become as it is today. But, for example, in Finland, today up to 20,000 children, according to the official statistics, are living outside their family. And obviously that's not orphan children. Obviously it's children
who have families,
they have mothers and fathers and other relatives, but anyway they are taken away from them and they are taken to a foster family. This is a problem. It's a human rights issue. We have, according to the official statistics, as I said, we have up to 20,000 such cases, but actually there are much more. The problem is that the sphere of child protection is very much privatized in Finland. So majority of children's homes in Finland actually are private companies.
So the state takes no burden, no financial burden in this case?
The state takes a huge financial burden because the state is financing the private children's homes. So the state is paying to the private children's homes, but it's just in Finland, and in Europe in general, it's fashionable to privatize. It's fashionable to privatize public services. And in this case, majority of the children's homes in Finland are privatized. And once the child gets into the children's home, of course, the owners of this children's home don't want to...
Let him go.
Let him go back, because it means huge amount of money for the children's home. And so the human rights activists in Finland have been trying to find out how many private children's homes we have in Finland, because we don't have any register. We just have to find it out by ourselves. And now, according to some findings, we have up to 600 private children's homes in Finland, which are private companies, and they are seizing children, and it seems to me that the problem is also about corruption, because the social services, the employees of the social services, they very often establish their own companies. So their colleagues and friends, they deliver them children. So it's a trade with children.
This is Burning Point. We're discussing the issue of child protection system in a number of Western countries. Our guest speaker is Dr. Johan Backman, an adjunct professor in sociology of law and criminology based with the Helsinki University in Finland. Not so long ago, there's been a large dispute in Norway about the problem of incest in those families who are living in more or less isolated conditions out of large cities. And people seem to be not quite upset about this issue, but this is really and definitely a crime according to some European legislations, and this is certainly child abuse.
And actually the children's home becomes an actual violence against the child. I mean, there are huge amounts of various kinds of ways the children are being abused in these children's homes. I mean, in my opinion, the fact that we are speaking about the trade with children, that's an abuse.
It's horrific.
And we have cases of sexual abuse by the employees of the children's home in Finland, for example. We have court cases, convictions. We have court cases of violence. But in general, I would say that this is violence against children.
Yes,
it is. The whole system is a violence against children, against parents, against families. It is a criminal and corrupted system. The problem is that we cannot have any information of this system, because they say that everything is strictly secret in the interest of the child.
Yes, so privacy protection.
We cannot have any kind of information about the system. We don't have reliable statistics. We don't have any kind of reliable decisions we could compare or get or obtain, because everything is secret.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody has right to check the private children's homes. Nobody has right, because they are private companies. They're private companies. Nobody has right to check a private company. Only the tax service can check a private company. We even had a court case where the municipal employees wanted to check a private children's home in Finland. And the state employees, they were convicted of trespassing, because it was a private territory and they didn't have right to to be there.
But at the same time, those social workers do have a right to enter into private homes
Yes.
to check the
any
condition.
Moment. Any moment.
Where's the logic? No logic?
Well,
no one questions it?
Well, we are questioning it. Everybody's questioning. We have been doing this for years, and this has been a huge scandal in Russia, because the one issue is that the rights of the Finns and other nationalities in Finland have been violated. But now, when there are dozens of cases of Russian mothers who have become victims of this kind of terror, I mean, it's a political terror.
Psychological terror?
It is a psychological terror. It's a violence against children. So the violence against children by the child protection is much more, it's much worse than the alleged violence against children in the families. But these services, they are spreading out an ideology of this anti-family ideology.
They're and that was one of the questions I wanted to pose to you.
Family is the worst thing on the planet, and because parents are beating their children and parents are taking drugs and alcohol, etc. So they are proliferating this propaganda in the
Why?
Media.
Why would they do that? What is the ultimate goal behind that?
Well, it's money. It's very profitable to seize children from families. It's like a slave trade. It's easy money. It's easy money. I mean, proliferating this anti-family propaganda, scissoring children without reason, establishing more private children's homes, scissoring tens of thousands of children and getting a huge amount of profit. It's easy money.
Creating artificial orphans, right?
Well, they are artificial orphans, but they are not they are prisoners, actually. They are prisoners because you have to understand that the children's homes, the private children's homes, are like prisons. They are locked up in the private children's homes.
How are they supposed to socialize as soon as they grow up?
They don't socialize. They are being drugged, first of all, if they have any kind of, if they protest. Because everybody protests.
Yes.
The parents protest, the children protest. If the parents protest, the parents are usually ordered not to, the social services make a special decision about prohibiting the parents to maintain any contact with the children. So that's a very typical decision. So first they make a decision of scissoring the child. When the child and the parents protest, then they make an additional decision about prohibiting any communication. So, and that's even worse than in prisons, because our prisoners have right to communicate. They can call from the prison, they can send letters, but the children cannot communicate with their parents. They are isolated from the parents, and then they are brainwashed. They are given drugs, and they are locked up in the children's homes. And what happens in the children's homes, nobody knows. Nobody knows what happens. We have several cases of documentary films made about these children's homes by Swedish, for example. In Sweden, we have the same problem in Sweden. Sweden, Finland, it's mostly Western European countries, especially Sweden, Finland, Norway, Scandinavian countries. We have the same problem in Germany. We have the same problem in France. In fact, the problem exists in most Western countries. So we have the problem in New Zealand. We have it in Australia.
France?
France, of course.
You said
all Western
Spain,
countries.
Spain? Well, traditional Catholic country?
Well, it seems to me that traditional Catholic countries are more sensible about the issue, like Spain, maybe France. But we have, unfortunately, negative experience with France as well. But the problem is that for many Russian citizens and Russian mothers, so Russian citizens today, they live everywhere. So we have information about violation of the rights of the Russian mothers and their children from New Zealand, for example. We have information, but the worst information we have is from Finland and Norway. And this is probably because these countries are neighboring countries to Russia, and they have plenty of Russian families, Russian children, Russian citizens living in these countries. And now we have dozens of cases where the Russian mothers, the Russian families have ended up in a very serious, very terrible situation, which has become as a surprise for them.
Oh, that's hell. That's literally hell.
It's worse than hell. It's worse than hell. And I have investigated these issues for several years.
Mm.
And it is for more than 5 years now. And in my opinion, the question is also about Russophobia and about political repression.
Mm-hmm.
So the Russian mothers, who very often are in quite weak position in Finland, they do not belong to the elite of the society, and they are mostly the working class. They live in the working class regions. They have become victims of a new kind of political terror.
Dr. Beckman, thank you so much.
coalition forces and begin striking selected targets of military importance.
It will be a decision which could only be taken once.
There's no argument over the choice between peace and war.
Unconfirmed reports about Gaddafi being captured.
This morning, I want to talk about the future of Europe.
Burning Point.
Hello and welcome to the second part of our show with me, Ekaterina Kudashkina. We are carrying on our discussion about the abuses of child protection system currently applied in many Western countries. And our guest speaker is Dr. Johan Backman, adjunct professor in sociology of law and criminology at Helsinki University in Finland.
So it seems to me that on the basis what I have seen and read and talked to these people, to dozens of victims of this kind of political persecution, I would say that they are victims of a political terror. They are victims of political terror, and this is against, it's a terror against their values, against their family values. In all cases which I know about Russian families in Finland, they're from good families, they're good parents, they're good children. But then somebody, for example, the teacher at the school, we had an example where the teacher at the school called the social service employees and said that the child allegedly said that the mother, the Russian mother, slapped her. And as a result, the child was taken to the... But very often there is, of course, a very strong ideological conflict and practical conflict between the Finnish employees of the social service and the Russian mother. Because, of course, the Finnish employees, they can, of course, they behave themselves very arrogantly. They come home as they like without any kind of order and court order. And the mother, the Russian mother, might protest, of course. We have cases in which the mother was taken to mental hospital later.
This I can also, imagine.
This also as a supplementary political pressure, as because the mother usually, if the child is taken, the mother is very nervous, very emotional, and then the social services they began to manipulate the situation by saying that you are too emotional, maybe you need some help. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
And in several cases, the mother ended up in a mental hospital. But in Finland, unfortunately, a person can be taken into the mental hospital without court order. It can be done with, again, because the employees of the social service, they decide together what to do. What to do with this case, what to do with that case, if they don't like the mother, if they don't like the Russian mother, which unfortunately happens, because the Finnish press is full of anti-Russian propaganda all the time. The Russians are depicted as barbarians in the Western press in general, especially now, but earlier as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, after 1991, after the collapse of the Soviet Union, the Russians have been depicted as barbarians in the most of the Western media. And this, of course, has also an influence on the situation, and a very negative influence.
So you're saying that you're not the only one and that there are people who are trying to protest against this situation. What specifically are you planning to do? Well, making the population aware of the problem is one thing, but then what next?
Well, the population of Finland and Russia as well are aware of the situation very, very well, very well, because it is debated in the Russian media and in Finnish media. Now, the Finnish media is debating what's debated in the Russian media already. And, of course, the Finnish media has been debating the issue for maybe 20 years already, the problems of the child protection system. But regarding the violations, it's for example, the Committee of the Rights of the Child of United Nations. Every year they criticize Finland of systematic violations of the rights of the child. Every year. And every year the Finnish Foreign Ministry is doing everything to hide this criticism. So it's not published anywhere in Finland. We are trying to publish it. I have been saying this to the Finnish media, but the Finnish media doesn't want to talk with us. Of course, there are time to time articles and stories in the Finnish media as well about this. And there have been for a long time. But the problem is that even though we are talking about this, even though everybody knows, nothing happens.
Our guest speaker is Dr. Johan Backman, adjunct professor in sociology of law and criminology at Helsinki University, Finland.
Burning Point.
Do you have any statistics, perhaps, to show that, or perhaps any kind of research done to show that the separation from families is traumatizing the child and that creates additional social problems?
Well, that's very good. You said it very well. And I mean, it can be understood without any research.
But if those political people want any kind of proof, and proof is something very hard to argue against.
Because they don't want any proof. Because we have a new law on protection of the child. It's a very liberal law. And who passed this law? The members of parliament, of course. They make laws, they pass laws, accept laws. And who owns the private children's homes? The members of the parliament. So they make laws for themselves to get more...
Isn't it a conflict of interest?
It's a conflict of interest, but it's legal. It's not illegal for a member of parliament to have to be an owner of a private children's home. It's fully legal. Now, but the problem is that we don't have information about what's happening inside the system.
We don't have the figures.
The Finnish Ministry of Social Welfare, they publish some kind of statistics. But we have been able to prove that these statistics are fake. They're false. They say that every year in Finland, like 17 or 18,000 children live outside their families. But we have been able to show these statistics as fake. So actually we don't know how many children live outside the families. We don't know their nationalities. We know only the cases that have been, only the people who have contacted us and told about their own lives, their experiences, who have delivered us the documents of their cases. We know only about these cases. And I have to say that I have never seen a single case in which the children really should have been taken from the family. They are all fabricated accusations against the parents.
Yes, of course, because real criminals and child abusers do not turn to your organization, as far as I understand.
Well, they're probably owners of the children's home. They're probably owners of the children's home because nobody is controlling them. There is no control. So we don't know anything about it. In fact, we don't have information about the situation. We don't have information about the activities of the officials. We don't have information about what's happening inside the children's homes.
That's a golden and liberal
children,
standard.
They disappeared to these. They disappeared to these private prisons. They are children's prisons. We have to talk about the existence of the system, of the network or archipelago of prisons of children in Western Europe, in Finland, in Norway, in Germany, and in various other countries.
That's really amazing because there's another case of a problem of jails and penitentiary institutions, the way they put it, which are said to be extra humane conditions in Scandinavian countries. Remember,
they
Breivik.
Are humane. They are humane. They are like hotels.
Absolutely. But then innocent children who need to be, like they say, protected, are put into inhumane conditions.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
It's more than crazy. It's hellish.
It's hellish indeed.
Brutal.
We're talking about the abuses of Western child protection system. Our guest speaker is Dr. Johan Backman, adjunct professor in sociology of law and criminology at Helsinki University, Finland.
Burning point.
So is there any hope of correcting this situation? I mean, well, as far as I understand, we need to fight it, and we need to fight it under any circumstances. But is there any light at the end of the tunnel?
Well, we have been trying to do, of course, the human rights activists in Finland have been doing this for years, and there is a debate around this problem for maybe 20 years already, but there is no progress. If we criticize the system, they answer us that we have the best child protection system in the world.
Indeed.
That's what they say. If we say that, look at what's happening, it's horrible, it's a nightmare. They say that we have the best law of child protection in the world, that we are the best in the world.
Tell you what, if I had been a Finnish mother, I would have gone otherwise into another country to have a child, really.
Well, the Finnish mothers also, they become a victims of this case. Actually, we have this kind of liberation movement of Finnish families established some 2 years ago. It's called October Movement. October Movement, and it's led by a Finnish mother, Maria Dammert.
Mm-hmm.
And Maria Dammert, she's a journalist, a mother, and she writes books, and she's leading this October Movement, which they have a website, and they are delivering these experiences, sharing experiences, and they are trying to influence on the situation. But unfortunately, there have been no successes. There have been no successes because the authorities don't react.
What about the church?
That's a very good question. The church is actually very actively helping these children. And the most interesting thing is that the Lutheran Church in Finland, the state church in Finland, they are giving shelter for seized children. In a way that when the children are taken violently from their parents, they are put to these children's prisons, and when they escape, each year, annually, there are approximately 4,000 cases of escape of a child from this private
run
children's
away
home.
From that.
Runaways.
Oh, yes.
4,000 cases in Finland each year. So it's a huge amount of children. I mean, every day they are running away.
4,000
4,000 cases. And if you open any Finnish newspaper, almost every day there are photographs of children to say that this children is missing. But these missing children are the children who escaped from the private children's homes. The church has reacted recently, the Finnish Lutheran Church. They give shelter for the escaped children.
Do they cooperate with social protection?
No, they say that because they have a special regulations of the church, and they say that the church should give shelter for the persecuted, okay? And recently the church has started to give shelter for children who have escaped from the private prisons. And they're staying, for example, the children are staying somewhere in the church. And this is very, very good development, of course, in this case. But you can understand that it's horrible.
It's a full-blown war against kids,
It's a war against families.
And families,
it's a war against families because they want to destroy families. And very often, after they seize the child, they pressure the parents to divorce, for example. One issue which has been even more radical is terrorist acts against social workers. Mm. So the social workers are attacked.
Retaliated.
They are attacked violently by the victims of this terror. This has happened several times during recent years, but it's not openly discussed. But there is information about violent attacks against social workers as a kind of revenge of there. So there is even a possibility of terrorism, violent terrorism. And the worst of all is suicides in these situations. And there are even these so-called collective suicides, that in the case of the threat or imminent threat of seizing the children, the parent kills the children and himself or themselves.
That's crazy.
And there are several cases of, it's called in Finland, a family suicide. It's a situation where the parent kills all the children and herself. And recently, actually, only some weeks ago, we had a case in Finland where a mother killed her two small children. The case is very strange because she was very well educated. She was in a good position in the society. She was not divorced. And suddenly she killed her, I think it was 1 year and 3 year old kids. And the problem is that we cannot have any information of this case. But we are suspecting that this has something to do with the social services, and they're terrorizing the mother. And actually, right after the murder, the Finnish mother murdered two of her children, the Finnish press wrote that the social service employees had visited the mother before the murder. But there was no any other information, but from this information, we were able to conclude that it maybe had something to do with this. And because the social services are, of course, very, very, can terrorize people. And in this case, what happened after this, the police launched a criminal investigation against the social services for delivering this information that the social services visited the mother before. So they are trying to, by all means, trying to hide everything that's happening.
And it's crazy again.
And we have also another cases where the social services came to the home, came to the family, and the father of the family, and they killed their children with the presence of the social workers. They were in the corridor. But these cases also happen. So this is the extreme I was talking about. But it is also a part of this problem. There is a huge amount of human tragedy, suffering, and also we can see criminal violence. But we have to understand that the system of child protection has become a system of political terror. It's a system of political terror against families. It's a system of political terror on the basis of anti-family ideology, and it's a persecution of families. Unfortunately, dozens of cases in Finland we know, Russian mothers, Russian families have become victims of this because of their family values, which are different from, of course, the Western family values.
Dr. Bachmann, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And just to remind you, our guest speaker was Dr. Johan Bachmann, adjunct professor in sociology of law and criminology at Helsinki University in Finland. And now we end this edition of Burning Point, brought to you by me, Ekaterina Kudashkina. Thank you so much for staying with us. Goodbye, and take care.